Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me, renew in me the right spirit, lead to that secret, sacred place in you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be
This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we're destroying the yokes of bondage. It is November 7th, 2020, and I want to again welcome you to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carey, President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries, and I want to say hello and give a shout out to my co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers. That you will hear from her soon. Certainly, we thank God for the announcements. Amazing Grace, we are currently still doing registrations for our School of Ministries, so you still have time. You have one more week, and let me know. Give me a call. Give me a email. Certainly, my email address is amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. And you can call me on my cell phone, which is 309-750-7584. And certainly, we can get you signed up for classes. I want to also say I will be speaking tomorrow at my church, Word of Truth Pentecostal Church. It will be via Zoom. So if you're interested, and seeing me, bring a word, give me a call, and I will text you the invite to the Word of Truth Pentecostal Church with the password, and you can see me on on tomorrow. The service starts at 11 a.m. and the Zoom program is about an hour. So if you want to hear me, then just and hear me and see me, because you can either be, you can use your cell phone to call in, or you can download the Zoom app, and if you download the Zoom app, you can see the service. So with that being said, thank you for reaching out to me and letting me know that you enjoy this lesson. If you didn't enjoy the lesson, if you had any questions, I've have been receiving a good response from those of you that have taken the time to just say, to text me, and I appreciate you and I thank you. Thank you for your suggestions. I thank you for letting me know whether or not the audio or the system is working correctly. And of course, last week, as you know, we had some technical difficulties, but the Lord saw us through. And I appreciate that. Continue to do that. Continue to reach out. You can reach out via the email I just mentioned, or you can text me with the phone number I just mentioned as well. Also, you can go to blogtalk.com, Amazing Grace, Amazing Grace Ministries, and hear any of these lessons at a later date. If you can't hear me today, then you can always go back and listen to the lesson. You can always access my Facebook page, Maria Carey, and that is Maria Carey, Maria S. Carey, and certainly you will be able to scroll down my Facebook page and you can see and access this information or this blog as well. And click the link, and you will be put right into the service. Or you have access to Blog Talk, and you can hear this lesson. So we are in a new month. Again, thank each and every one of you that are listening today. Let's go into our lesson. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to come before your presence. We exalt you. We magnify you. We thank you for a new month. We thank you for a new opportunity to give you the glory. God, guide and lead us and allow your word to speak to us on this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So basically, we have been preparing in time a word that is relative to the situations that we're going through, the situations that we're dealing with in this day and time. And certainly, we had a good lesson on last month that talked about faith, because it was suggested that we talk about faith. We're living in trying times, and certainly we don't want to lose our faith. And we pray, and we continue to read the word, and we continue to gather strength from the Lord so that we can move forward in faith. And certainly if you want to go back and listen to any of those messages, you can. But this month, we are dealing with a new month. We're dealing with new challenges. And certainly this is Thanksgiving month. But we thank God for the 11th month. It's only one more month in this year, y'all. But God, the theme for this month, even in the midst of being Thanksgiving month, Thanksgiving, certainly we're preparing for a different Thanksgiving. We won't be able to deal with our families or celebrate Thanksgiving as we did last year with our families. We are on a different, due to coronavirus, things are different. So But we thank God that he's still blessing us. So our theme for this month is God's abiding love. And the first lesson on this week is God's abiding love. So what does God require? So let's read the scriptures. We're going to Deuteronomy. We're going to Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter. And we're just going to give you some nuggets this morning from the Old and the New Testament. Is that all right? We want to talk about what does the Lord require of us. The essence of the law, Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 through 15, and this is the New King James Version. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God. Also, the earth with all that is in it. Y'all, can I read that? And the earth with all that's in it, currently, now, the Lord delighteth only in you, only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their descendants after them. You above all people as it is this day. So what does the Lord require of us? No. And then we're looking at, to flip this over, we're looking at God's abiding love. What does that mean to us? So in essence, for that, we are going to St. John. We're going to St. John, and this is going to be a month. We're going to deal with this. We're going to analyze it. We're going to break it down, and we are going to know more about ourselves and more about the Word of God when we get to looking at the Word and asking God to apply this Word to our everyday lives. So when we look at St. John, and now it's just considered to be John, which is one of considered the Gospels. If you turn to chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 12 through 15. Now, because I've already started out with the New King James Version, I'm going to read that. And I guess I'm just loving my Bible, my new Bible, y'all. So here it goes. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that to lay down one's life for his friend. Mm-hmm. Ye are my friends if you do so with whatever I command you. No one, no longer, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master's doing, but I call you friend, for all things that I hear from my Father, I have made known to you. So when we look at that, and we look at chapter 15, we know that the verse talks about and is listed as the true vine. So we're going to be dealing with Moses, God, the true vine, and the branches. So let's talk a little bit about Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter. Now, I'm sorry, Deuteronomy, just the book of Deuteronomy. And we thank God for this lesson, and given the fact that we're dealing with what we're dealing with now, it's so applicable that we need to remember that we have been bought with a price. We are no longer our own. But we talked about last month, faith, and the Lord is just blessing these lessons to build on each other. So now we're dealing with what does God require of me now? And the vine, the true vine. So when we look at Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Pentateuch, written by Moses. So you got the five first books of the Bible, and this is the fifth book of the Bible. Now, the Hebrew prophet, he was a teacher, the leader of God's people. It has been described as a book of transition. We can find several definitions of transition, which means change, which means switch, which means shift, which means alteration, which means evolution. It means to switch, to change. How many of us trust and hear God to believe that He is shifting things in this present atmosphere, in this atmosphere we are living in today? In this pandemic season, this novel coronavirus, God is moving with intensity within this universe. It is safe to say that never in our lifetime have we, that we're living in today, can we say that we have experienced God to manifest Himself in the manner He's doing during this 2020 coronavirus or COVID-19 year. We have seen revolutionary occurrences of unprecedented proportions upon mankind. We've seen this pandemic, and the numbers are getting higher. And if we shift to this election that is uncanny as well, and we know some are saying they're sitting on the numbers, they're sitting and they're waiting to say, we want to have a new president. But even if we look at the numbers to see how many people came out and voted for our current president. So then that means that we as Christians have a lot to do to show forth God's love, God's standards, and the fact that God is able to do what He said He's going to do. So now we've never seen the likes. This pandemic has changed the scope of the educational world. It has hit academia. It has hit the towers of the financial world, the markets, the enterprises. Businesses are closing. People don't know if they'll be able to spring back or bounce back. Retail is saying we don't know. They're predicting maybe retail won't come back. So when we look at finances, when we look at where the people are, life as we know it prior to the onset of this devastating pandemic appears to be far from the reality of this world that we see today. From the edifices, now from the edifice of the church worship center, both grand and small, to the humble styles in worship and teaching, God is in our homes via technology platforms, via phone, via Facebook Live, via Zoom, because of the need of social distancing. Our lives have changed. our lives, what we see has changed. You know, if you haven't heard the phrase BC, AC, which just means before Corona and after Corona, so much has changed. We have a lot that has changed. There's a lot that has been lost that we'll never get back. You hear words like, this is a new normal, which society will, in many instances, be measured by life before the pandemic and life after the pandemic. And the question now for us is asking and seeking answers to around the knowledge that God is. How is, where do we see God, and how is God moving us in different ways? And believers, believe it or not, God is moving us to a new level of worship, a new level of fellowship, a new level to serving his kingdom. We as church, we and as the leaders, we understand that the church is not the Lord is not the church edifice, meaning, but the church is the people. And what does the church look like now post-coronavirus? Praise God. There is one simple or central theme that seems to permeate through all the conversations and the discussions so far. That is, now we know without a shadow of a doubt that this church of us, the church, is not brick and mortar. Hallelujah. It's not the building. It's not the structure. Hallelujah. But it is the people. Not to say that once the church and the people get together in one building, we're there and the fellowship of the Lord is in the midst. The Spirit of the Lord is in the midst, because we come together to fellowship. We come together to lift up the name of the Lord. We come together to reverence and adore him, to get filled up with the presence of the Lord. And we understand that the church may be in us now, but when we come together, when we're able to come together, God is certainly in the midst. So the Bible tells us to make disciples of men, those who accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now we are commissioned with a great assignment to lift up and to show forth God's love to mankind. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20, and this is the New Living Translation. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commandments I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. We can even say, even in the midst of this pandemic, we go to Romans and we find that nothing can separate us from the love of God. So we begin to understand that as believers, those that have been blood washed in the Lamb of God, those that understand that the Passover, praise the Lord, is now in the form of Jesus Christ who died on the cross. Now, what was the Passover? Well, I'm going to tell you, hallelujah. Since we are in the book, praise the Lord, of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy. We started off with that book. Certainly the Passover was that last plague associated with the Israelites being let go out of slavery. And this was the plague that would come and take the firstborn, hallelujah, of each and every one living in Egypt. I said each and every one. But the Lord had given Moses the victory by telling him to take a lamb, to make a sacrifice of that lamb. And once you do that, I need you to put the blood of that lamb on the doorpost, on the door, so when the death angel sees the blood of the lamb, the death angel would pass over. Now here we are, we're getting ready to go in John. Now we're talking about abiding love. We're talking about the fact that Christ said, now I need you to make disciples of men, because you know I said I wanted to give you some nuggets, and let me give you a nugget right now. Praise the Lord. Now, when we look at this chapter, and I know I might be getting ahead of myself, but this is getting good to me, we understand that Christ is the way. He is the only way. When we look at John 14 and 6, it talks about the way, the truth. And we finna talk about the true vine, but the only way, Jesus claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is not one of the ways to God. He is the only way to God. Jesus is not one of many truths. He is the truth. Jesus does not just show a way to live. He is the giver of life, the one who gives meaning to life. If Jesus is our way, then he is the only one who can save us and guide our lives. If Jesus is our truth, then we study his word and live according to its truth. If Jesus is our life, we must trust that he is in control of our lives today into eternity. I just want to have that nugget, y'all, because we're talking about making disciples. We're talking about God's abiding love. And then we're asking a question, what does God require of us? So as Christ became a servant. Now, when we also look at the fact that Christ gives us an example of how to live, how to serve. So as Christ became a servant by taking off his robe and wrapping a towel around his waist to wash the feet of the disciples, to show his humanity in serving others as we are called to do the same thing. Now, when did he do this? If we read John chapter 13, verses 4 through 5, it reads, "Rose from supper and lay aside his garment, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he had girded around his waist." John, same chapter, but moving down to verses 12 through 14. And I gave you the New Living Translation in the first verse I'm giving you, New King James verse. But this verse is, I'm giving you the New the New Living Translation. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. So, at the time of the writing of Deuteronomy 10, the Israelites was experiencing a shift, a life-changing shift in their culture, in what they were beginning and preparing themselves for. If you look at history, if you look at the Bible, you understand that this is the last time that Moses would talk and give instructions. Now, the people of God, the Israelites, had messed around and would not believe God, and therefore, because they would not believe God to go into the promised land, their forefathers had to stay in the wilderness. Because the two servants, Joshua, and another person, and Lord, come on, give me the name, and I'm going to give you the name. I want to say Caleb, but it wasn't Caleb. But two servants went over to the promised land and looked at the promised land and saw that were 12 spies. Father, thank you, God. Thank you for letting me get it right. I want to get it right, yo. 12 spies went over to the promised land, and 12 spies each represented each one for each tribe, and there were 12 tribes. So each one represented a tribe, went over to the promised land. They looked at the land. They saw it was good. It was the promised land. But yet 10 out of 12 felt like it wasn't conquerable. They couldn't go over and possess the land. So therefore, because they didn't believe God, and only two believed God and believed him to be faithful and just to do what he said he would do, then they had to stay in the wilderness for 40 years. So now we're coming upon a new generation, a new people that have grown up, and now Moses is instructing them. They're getting ready to transition into a different environment, a different atmosphere. They're getting ready to arm themselves accordingly to move out from their old place of where they were into a new beginning. There is a shift in the land, if you will, and there is a shift in the land now. But God is saying that he is getting ready to do a new thing. He is fortifying soldiers, those disciples that will put the armor upon them to go out and defeat and to fight this enemy. Now, when we talk about Jesus is the way, he is the vine. He is the vine, the true vine. So when I say he is the only way, he has become the Passover. He has become the blood that has been sacrificed for us. Now, when we get into St. John, praise the Lord, let me finish with the Israelites. So God's plan for his beloved Israelites was for a new focus that was centered on worship and serving the one true living God. He commanded that their entire way of being would be reflective of his nature and his character. You can't get around it. You must look like him. You must act like him. You must think like the Lord. You must have his and put on his attributes. The Israelites had been set apart by God's for God's holy purpose that he wanted. He has purposed us for himself. We have been set apart for God. Above all other nations, the Israelites were chosen to be a peculiar people, and we are a peculiar people. The church today is set apart for God's holy people. Hallelujah. Set apart so the Lord our God, we are his shining light in this dark world. We represent him. We show faith the faith and know that God, no matter what, is going to bring us out. I talked about Romans and the fact in chapter 8, it talks about what can separate us from the love of God. Shall this pestilence? No, it can't, because God is a God of love. God is showing forth and fortifying his people and giving us a new avenue of worship and praise and breaking out the spirit of the Lord in a radical form that we have never seen before, because we believe God to be faithful. We believe God to say and do what he said he's going to do. In the meantime, by faith, we're believing it and we are preparing ourselves to go into this new move of God. We're not sitting idle. We're not sitting putting our heads down. We're not sitting twisting our thumbs and holding our heads down, but we're lifting our heads up high and we're blessing the name of the Lord to show forth and to know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ask or think. I live because of Christ. I live because of Christ. I even die because of Christ. Now let's get to St. John, 15th chapter. So we're talking about God's abiding love. Y'all only got 9 minutes. Why y'all let me go so long? 15th chapter begins a new phase of Jesus' warfare teaching. Now when we look at this 15th chapter, God is getting ready to depart. He is comforting his disciples. He has washed their feet. He is teaching. He gives this last teaching session before he will be carried off to be crucified. So we see that God continues to give instructions. He says, duty and obligation. He gives instruction. He tells them what he requires of us. He says, I am a statement in the gospel. The routine for Jerusalem to Mount Olive, the east of the city, would be affected, would offer Jesus and the disciples the site of the great temple atop of Mount Sinai. So he's beginning to tell them who I am, who he is. He is the true vine. He is describing himself as a vine. He is describing the Lord as the wine dresser. He's beginning to tell the disciples to this point what is required of them. The Christian must abide in him in order that they will bear fruit, and the fruit of faith. So in essence, he gives, I am the vine, you are the branches. Jesus is giving a metaphor that would have been, that is understand, that was understood in his time. So he gives a command. What does that command mean? That command is a term that is a Greek term, it's a Greek word that includes law. It includes the ordinance. It includes stature. It includes change again. So when we look at the vine, this word vine, it's the grapevines were commonly used in Asia in that sea area. Grapevines, grape vineyards flourished. So they were plentiful. So Jesus is giving an illustration. And this vine is a symbol of prosperity. It was a symbol of the fact that healthiness. It was a symbol of almost like, I don't want to say wealth, but it was a symbol of goodness or wealth in essence. So the vine is the picture. It's also a picture of God's people. And certainly there's some scriptures, John 15 and 2, Psalms 8 and 80 and 8, and Isaiah 52. So he comes, Jesus. He comes, he gives himself, he does a metaphor of what was historically cultural in at that time. He gives himself and he calls himself the vine, which is, we look at the vine, if you can visualize a grapevine, and you see the vine and the branches and those vines going throughout this vine or this tree, or and you could see that there is branches that come from this vineyard. And if we look at those that have wineries and their vineyards and those trees and the grapes that grow on those vines and those branches, so he's calling himself the vine. So in essence, when I said that, giving you a little background, when we look at chapters 13 through 15, Jesus is privately teaching us. He's teaching his disciples. He's telling us, he's instructing us, he's getting them ready. And I said us, he's getting them ready that he will be taken and crucified. So in essence, he gave this last lesson, not last lesson, but this lesson to let them know that he is the vine, that there's nothing that can be done outside of moving in Christ. We begin to understand that the only way, as I forestated, is through Christ. And Christ becomes the vine. He becomes the vine as we become his branches. We will read in the word that says, if the tree, of course, in the Gospels, where it says that if it does not produce fruit, then he cut it off. It should be cut off. And that's the pruning process. That's the process of pruning us, to get us to cut off areas in our lives that don't line up with God, because God is the only way. And because he is the vine, and because we are required to show forth God's love for God shows forth his love to us. Now we have to show forth his love to others. And we are required to represent him. So when we look at the vine, it is important. The importance of this is the faithfulness in the Christian's life and the truth that results in abiding in Christ, not in our human achievements. There is also the branches, and the branches that are not fruitful are, again, they are purged off. They're cut. They are pruned, in essence, so that God may show forth his love and his kindness in us, and he will get the glory. Hallelujah. And the wine dresser watches over the vines to secure the faithfulness, to secure that we're walking up right before the Lord. So if God cuts you, he's cutting you for a reason. He's cutting you because there's stuff in you that he's trying to get out. And sometimes we get frustrated, we get anxious, we get sad, we don't know, we see, we get anxious because of the elections not going. We want to know who's president now. But patience, faithful waiting. God is preparing a way for us. And first of all, no matter what the result, results of the election, we understand that God is in control and he is going to secure his believers and he's going to make a way no matter what, because we're trusting and believing in him, because this is not our home and we are living to live again. So what does God require of us? That is what we are discussing on this month. And what he requires, we must, wow, he's moving in us to make us better. We've got to abide in God's love, because that is what God requires. He requires a life that is securely sold out to him. Lord, I love you. God, I worship you. God, I want the best. I want only the best. I want you to move in me. Not my will, but thine be done. God, you guide me. You lead me. God, talk to me, God. Lead me in this day of Corona. God, guide me that I may show forth your love, your kindness, that I may walk upright before you, that I may help somebody. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you. We thank you for this class. We thank you for this blog. I pray, God, that the word has hit somebody, God. I pray, God, that you will allow and move in this word, God. You said that your word wouldn't come out void, God, that it would do what's needed. And I pray, God, that this word would do what's needed for your people, God. God, save, deliver, set free, and God, keep us in remembrance that you are the vine and we are the branches. And God, I'm asking, God, take out everything that's not like you. Prune us, God, whatever you need to do that we may glorify you. God, what we say, what we do, how we act, God, we are striving to live the way you want us to live. And I pray, God, that you move every obstacle in the name of Jesus, that you take out everything that's not like you in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that you have your way in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that you change in the name of Jesus. God, whatever it is, in Jesus' name we pray. And God, if there's a person that's not saved out there that would hear this lesson, I pray, God, that in the name of Jesus right now, that you confess your sins and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. In Jesus' name, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you've done that, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, if you repented of your sins, you have now been adopted in the family. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we thank you and we welcome you. And for those of you that's already in the family, I thank you for taking your time out of your day to listen to this word. We pray that something has been said, and certainly give me a text to let me know you've enjoyed this lesson or you've had a question in reference to this lesson. Just give me a text, 309-750-7584. God bless. See you soon, or I talk to you soon. Bye-bye.